The Purple Heart is the oldest military award in the United States of America that it gives to its service members. It's sometimes called the Medal Nobody Wants because it's given to those killed or wounded in combat. Now, a mid-Michigan man has joined those ranks. Current State's Kevin Lavery has his remarkable story. Kevin, you spent some time getting to know Mr. William Milczarski. Tell us about him.
Yes, Mark, and it was a privilege. First Lieutenant William Milczarski is retired from the U.S. Army. He enlisted back on August 1, 1990, the day before Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait. He spent just a few years in as a heavy construction operator. He was injured, he got out of the service, and eventually he went to Cooley Law School. He became a civil rights attorney. Things were going along pretty well for him. And then came September 11th, and not long after that, William Milczarski made a difficult and surprising decision to put on his country's uniform for the second time.
Well, that's a long story. I was 39 years old. My mobility impairment that I had, back injury, had healed up substantially, and I was able to move around quite well. And at 39 years old, I said, should I join the Army or buy a convertible? And I joined the Army.
You couldn't pick out the right car?
No, they didn't have the right model. I was looking for a red one, but all they had were black and, you know, silver. So I said, yeah, I'll go in the Army. I didn't get in the JAG when I first applied for it because I was pretty old. And they don't want to, you know, weren't accepting the old folks. OCS, Officer Candidate School, did take me. And I got in there thinking that I'm going to become a lawyer for the Army. With my unique background, they might have been able to use me in helping, you know, wounded warriors. That's not how it turned out.
You found yourself in the infantry not doing law.
That is correct. You'd be surprised how much law actually involves with the infantry, though. At 40 and 41, I became the oldest infantry officer graduate in like forever. And I had to run 5 miles in 40 minutes. And I'm not built for that. But I did it. And then they made me jump out of airplanes for airborne school. And then I got sent to Fort Riley, Kansas, and I took a platoon over just weeks before we deployed to Afghanistan. So I had no chance to really learn anything but the names of my men. And we went to Afghanistan.
You're in Afghanistan, you're a platoon leader, and it's May 27th, 2011. How did that day start off?
It was a day where we were planning on doing a long mission, and this one sticks in my memory for multiple reasons. On this one, we were going out to look at a house that supposedly had a lot of drugs. And when we got there, there was an old woman pleading with one of my Afghan counterparts. And I didn't understand what was going on, so I asked my interpreter to explain what was going on. And he explained to me that this lady was begging him to stop a marriage. And I asked him to explain a little more, and he was explaining how the Taliban would move into an area and they would forcibly wed all the unmarried women. And according to their culture, what that would do is it would bind the family to take care of them and protect them and feed them and all of that. And that was not a pleasant thing, and it got worse because I found out that this old lady was begging to stop the marriage of a 34-year-old Taliban from Pakistan to her 8-year-old granddaughter. And there was nothing I could do to stop it.
And you had been a civil rights attorney, and this was not your country.
Not my country, not my culture, not my laws. The only thing that I can hope out of it is that Taliban who came in there got in a firefight with me, and I hopefully killed him. Because that little girl, that haunts me.
How'd you get wounded?
We were in a very long firefight. It actually ended up being about 4 hours. And my platoon actually actioned on a village. We were outnumbered, but I was ordered to action on the village, which wasn't probably the wisest idea. But we did it anyways because we were told to. And I went to the south side of the village with one of my squads plus some ANCOP, which are the Afghan police. And we were in a firefight down there, and I got a message over the radio from my company commander who was with us, who told me to get up to his location now with the interpreter. The local police that we were working with were beating up a couple of people, and he didn't have an interpreter, so he didn't know what was going on. So my forward observer and myself and my interpreter were ordered to break contact with the enemy and bring the interpreter up to my company commander. So the three of us went about 200-300 meters across an enemy-occupied town by ourselves under a direct order to get up there. And I remember there was a lot of hastily implanted IEDs on the ground. And you could tell because the ground was moist in some areas and dry in others.
Improvised explosive devices.
That is correct. And I remember turning to my forward observer and looking at him and saying, Hoodle, you got to stay back. Otherwise, it'll be a bad day for both our wives. And I remember saying that to him. And we got over there, and the interpreter went off with the company commander, and I joined some of my other men up on a hill. It was a rocky hill with the mounds of rocks. I didn't know what it was. And I got up there, and I was trying to call in a mortar strike on some people that were shooting at us. And I'm engaging them as well, and there's explosions happening because they're shooting RPGs at us, and I'm trying to call in mortars, and the next thing I know, I just got hit on the side of my face. And I remember looking at it, and I was more angry than anything else because I know who was shooting at me. It was a guy over on a tree. We were exchanging fire. He was about 300 meters out behind a tree, very difficult shot. And eventually, you know, I ended up getting him, or someone got him anyways. But I just kept fighting that day. You know, I didn't leave my men. It was a real minor flesh wound. It just bled all over the place. That's all it was. And when it was done, one of my Afghan guys from the south end of town ended up dying that day. So a little wound like I had was just ignored. And we went back and continued the mission. Proper paperwork was done, you know, showing I was treated, but nothing was ever submitted or anything. And about a year before I got out, my battalion commander found out about it, and he submitted the paperwork for me to get a Purple Heart. By the time I got out of the service, though, it had not been processed completely. You know, I found out in January, or actually I found out on Valentine's Day that I was awarded the Purple Heart. It was technically awarded in January, but it arrived in the mail on Valentine's Day, which my wife thought was quite humorous that I got a Purple Heart in the mail on Valentine's Day. And
well, she had your real heart, so it only stands to reason you have a government heart.
We've been married for over 25 years, and she's my high school sweetheart.
How you doing now, Will?
It has been a long day going through all of this. I have severe PTSD. I have a traumatic brain injury and a number of other issues as well. And being out in large groups in public is not necessarily comfortable at all. But I knew that I had to get through this today. I'm in extensive counseling with the VA and such because that's what needs to happen to be able to overcome this. I know of a lot of soldiers, a lot of people out there suffering from PTSD that have not stepped up and tried to make a difference and tried to overcome this. You can only drink the nightmares away so much. Of the men that I brought home, two of them tried to kill themselves. The war came home with them, and they just couldn't handle it, and they tried to kill themselves. And they're getting help. But of all the men that I had, we all have PTSD.
There are two men, Afghans, who live with you now here in Michigan. You're trying to help them establish a new life here in this country. Tell me about that.
I believe that we owe a debt of honor, at the very least, to the men who served with us over there. There were a lot of people who learned English, and they were our interpreters. They helped us with the locals. They helped us with our Afghan partners. And we are abandoning them. The U.S. State Department has a special immigration visa policy to help them get their visas and green cards. And I have gone off and sponsored two of them. And I've been in combat with both of these gentlemen, and they have my utmost trust. They're members of my family now. And what I've done is my wife and I have agreed to this, and they live in our basement for free. They both got jobs at Myers, which is very, very grateful to have such hard workers. And I'm giving them the opportunity to get on their feet. One of them, we just did a little bit of fundraising. We just raised, $3,500 for his wife and kids to get medical exams. And they're going to go through their final interviews for the State Department later this month. And we expect to have them here in the U.S. in a couple of months. And we're going to let them stay with us for a little while as well. But we're going to have, his wife and six children living with us. We're going to get them on their feet one way or the other and give them a second chance.
I wish to remember the six men who didn't come back from missions under my command. I almost brought you all home. I wish to recognize my children who cannot be here today because they are wearing that uniform and guarding the gates. Your daddy is very proud of you all. I wish to apologize to my wife. Because I'm wearing this, I almost didn't keep my promise to come home. But I'm home now. Thank you.
Retired First Lieutenant William Milzarski of Bath Township, Purple Heart recipient. Welcome home, Will.
It's good to be home. Now I just hope that the nightmares and such that come out of PTSD allows me to stay home.
For Current State, I'm Kevin Labrie.